He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
My co-partner here is not here, as he is in Belgium for a week or so, hopefully driving some European brand cars, as he suggested, I think, in last week's show that he might be doing. We'll see how much time he can address or give to that kind of research, and we will hear more about it, if not in the next show you hear on this radio station. When The following one. Or one soon to follow. In any event, a couple things are going on, which I alluded to last week. One has to do with the auto show and the apparent withdrawal from the show of Audi, as I mentioned on last week's show. And I do not know whether others are withdrawing as well. But what may be coming to the show, and I can only hope that they will be coming, will be a plethora of electric trucks. Possibly, because we are going to be inundated with electric truck, pickup truck options within
months
to a couple of years. And I think it's going to be very confusing for the pickup industry, because I'm not sure the pickup trucks going electric are going to be easy to sell to, at least maybe the contractor group of pickup truck owners. I do not know about the non-contractor general public ideas for electric pickup trucks, because pickup trucks have had a lot of favoritism or favorite buyers in the form of just the yous and me's of the world, certainly in California and Texas.
Oh, people love their pickups.
They love their pickups. They like going out in their pickups. Their pickups are so luxurious now with the seating, the seat materials and the dash materials and just the general interiors, that they are sometimes almost ubiquitous to cars. Is that the right word?
No, but we know what you mean.
We know, yes. I hope the listeners know what I mean, even if I don't. in any event, I heard a couple of news blips about electric trucks over the weekend, and I really don't know where the electric truck industry is going to go, except that there are a minimum of five or six, I believe, new makers about to appear somewhere at an auto show near me, I hope, in April, with pickup trucks. Rivian is one. We've talked about Rivian on this show. That has probably a lot of promise, I think, in a lot of ways. We saw two Rivian vehicles last year at the auto show. A pickup and an SUV version. And Jay and I both like them
now,
a lot.
Now, remind your listeners, how long between the time that you see a prototype or whatever at the auto show and to a showroom near you?
Well, Rivian is supposed to show up this year with a showroom near us, or maybe not near us, but a showroom of some kind or another. I do not know whether it will be a dealer network for the Rivian vehicles, or whether they're going to be like the Tesla model, which is sell from the factory or sell online and pick up your Rivian somewhere near you. But Rivian should be ready to go. They've got a lot of funding from major investors groups, so the money is not an issue to get Rivian on the road. Some of the other ones, I do not know where the money is coming from. I believe there's a Chinese maker that has contracted for a factory in the United States to build an electric pickup. And I can't give the listeners a lot of details, except that the count that I think I came away with was from this radio, from this TV internet thing I heard over the weekend was five, or maybe it was six. And their names I cannot pronounce, and they certainly are not automotive names that anybody knows other than the big three, Tesla, and Rivian.
Did you, by the way, see any Super Bowl ads?
And the reason I did, but you know,
because
were a lot of crazy ads in the Super Bowl.
The reason I'm asking is because the Audi EV ad. I find myself watching it, and then I find myself going, "Who are they marketing this to?"
Well,
and
I saw the Audi ad. I saw the Porsche ad. I saw a Kia ad, or was it a Hyundai ad for some very interesting one for a brand new name, a Kesla or something like that. It was a lime green vehicle. You may have seen it.
Missed that one.
It was an interesting ad. And at the end, I wanted to know more about the vehicle, but I couldn't remember the name after I left after the Super Bowl was over. I actually did not make it to the end of the Super Bowl, so I missed the exciting second half, which I have taped and I'm going to watch because I went to bed thinking one thing, and I woke up this morning with a hunch that maybe I shouldn't have gone to bed so early, or at least turned to another station is what actually happened, because I was quite sure that San Francisco was on its way to victory, and lo and behold, they lost. That was another big upset in the tennis world, too, in the Djokovic team event, in which anybody who left it after three sets thought that Djokovic was going to get beaten, and it turned out he came back and won. So there were some upsets in the sports world, but that has nothing to do with cars and trucks. Back to the truck situation. It'll be interesting to see. So far as I can get from the electric vehicle market, the electric vehicle participation by buyers about their vehicles, whether they be, they're all cars so far, is that the big issue with electric batteries right now is extremely cold weather areas in the country if you've got an electric vehicle. And we've talked about the limitations of electric battery life and or performance in colder temperatures. You probably lose somewhere between 5 and maybe as high as 20% of electric battery efficiency in temperatures that I will say are 20 degrees or below. And that would go right down to zero and below zero. So states like Minnesota, Canadian markets, northern Vermont, or Vermont and the New England states, might find electric battery efficiency very much diminished in cold weather. So if you think you've got a car that is touted in the advertising and on the window stickers of being able to go 330 miles between charges, you may well be down into the 200s, or not less than 200 for sure, but down into the 200s.
But you're going to lose a percentage just on a cold day.
And that would happen with pickup trucks also.
Does it warm itself up, or is it?
The batteries do have warming. Some batteries do have warming capabilities built into them in terms of heaters or whatever, however they work. But unless you have a heated garage to start out in the morning with your electric vehicle, if you park it outside at night, you're going to have a diminished efficiency factor when you go out in your car right away in the morning.
Can you start it while it's plugged in?
Well, battery cars don't start.
Well, you know what I mean. What I'm wondering is, do you have to unplug it before?
Yes, you're not going to start. You're not going to have. You're not going to push the stop button. And nothing happens, incidentally, when you push that, except that you do have electrical operations going on in the car.
What's
going to
happen for people who just cannot live without their remote starters in winter?
Well, you don't have to start one. First of all, you push a button and you're basically turn on the power,
turning
on a light bulb. Okay, so you don't have a problem. But what you don't have is a warm-up capability.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Sitting in the driveway.
I'm not talking about whether how you
that
turn
I know
on or
of,
off.
But I don't know enough.
But that's
about
what I'm asking is okay. So it's 20 degrees and you start. As I say, I know a lot of people. I don't happen to be one of them, but that's because I'm missing a
I have not had the benefit of being able to have an electric car for any period of time to be able to answer the questions you're answering, which is one, how fast do they warm up in the form of seats and steering wheels, which are electric? Right. And they may have very fast electric warm-up capabilities in the fabric and the seat steering wheel itself. As far as a heating system in the cars, quite frankly, I don't think there are radiators, so I guess the heat's electric too. Now, it might also mean that electric heating in these electric cars may work fairly quickly. I know nothing about window defrosting capability. If you go outside and you find your windows totally frosted over, all your windows are totally frosted over, the only windows that you're going to be able to defrost are the front and the rear, and then the side mirrors. But I don't think any electric vehicles have got completely warming filaments in any of the side windows.
I don't know whether they do it. The only reason I'm raising this and
You turn it on and it's going to use up battery juice. Okay.
That's the only reason
and
I'm raising
why
it
say
because the
20% reduction might be the result of that in your driving mileage capability during the course of a day if you don't have access to interim while parked charging facilities like a Tesla charger at a parking lot or something.
Right. Okay. No, but it's just when things are advertised as the next thing, it takes a bit. I'm not even talking.
Well, let's not get too detailed about that because first of all, conversely to my comment about whether or not electric pickups will be worthwhile alternatives to gasoline diesel powered pickups, which I am wondering, theoretically, you know, once you have an electric pickup, you don't have a diesel or electric motor under the hood. Batteries can go there. Batteries can go under the frame, although I don't think they should in a pickup truck because pickup trucks often go off-road and slosh through mud and other undesirable elements for battery packs, even though they might be in a sealed compartment. But you do have the ability in these pickups coming to put in enough batteries to give a juice that there's a suggestion that the Hummer may come back as an electric vehicle with 10,500 pounds of foot torque, which is 10 times, as the article says, higher than a major Ford pickup model and probably the FCA
There was an ad for it, too,
Ram,
last night. There was an ad for it, too.
Putting them to shame, not that you need to have this kind of pickup, but electric motors they do not start off under load very well. Once they get going, you have all the torque right from the start, which is why the Hummer may or may not in the ad advertises its capability of going 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. Now, why a Hummer needs to go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds is beyond me for any reason whatsoever except to get away from the police. That's one of the things that the Hummer is going to tout besides the torque. Mammoth torque, for that matter. It's a big vehicle if it comes out as the original Hummer size, so it could have a lot of batteries packed underneath it.
Obviously, you did not see the ad.
Which will be expensive. I did not see the ad, but I've seen the grill, and I've read about it.
The ad was basically, you're it, and it does all these great things, and it's electric.
Do you remember what part of the game it was in? Second half?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Anyways, the Hummer will be an interesting. That will be something I would love to see at the auto show.
Okay.
But again, whether or not pickups will take the electric pickups will take the place anytime soon in the commercial and industrial world of pickup truck use is open to question. But there are going to be a lot of pickups showing up all of a sudden. Not to mention the big three are all rushing. Ford has got one almost ready to go. I'm sure Fiat Chrysler is not too far behind, and GM either. Whether or not Elon Musk's electric pickup, which was ballyhooed a couple of months ago, especially about the non-bulletproof glass that was supposedly bulletproof.
But I thought Jay said earlier that was – So it was incredibly well ordered. In other words, a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. It's another, I don't know whether it was 150,000 or 50,000 or what orders were put in practically overnight for that pickup truck, just the way they were for the Tesla when it was first ordered, the Model 3 when it first came out. And incidentally, Tesla's about to bring the Model Y out, which is going to be a three-row crossover vehicle. And it's coming to market earlier than originally estimated, which was going to be early in the fall of this year, and now maybe it's going to show up. Whether it's going to show up at the Tesla doesn't go to auto shows, so I guess it won't show up at the New York Auto Show. But there's an article about it in this week's Automotive News about it's coming in online or on to the ground sooner than it's going into production sooner than originally estimated. Now that may be because the sales are falling off of the other models because it is going to be produced in California at the plant. Which means it'll be produced along with the other models, the S and the 30 and whatever, or not. I don't know, but it is coming. So it's going to be the next thing that we will see in the news programs fairly soon. The other new model I'm looking forward to, which is getting closer and closer to a full reveal, So far, they've all been camouflaged pictures that we've seen. Is the Ford Bronco. It was two of the first. My first two cars were Ford Broncos, 1969 and 1973. And I, as well as did many people, adored that particular vehicle. And then it grew like all of them tend to do after
everything
a while.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
I also owned a big one, a 1978 Ford Bronco, which was a two-door, but twice as large or three times as large as the original Bronco, and not nearly as versatile for recreational use as the original Ford Broncos were. But a new one's coming. I've seen a close to what I hope it will be, look like picture. I think I mentioned this in the last show on Car and Driver's latest Car and Driver issue. But it's going to have a lot of buzz. It has a lot of buzz about it, and I'd love to see it at the New York Auto Show. Incidentally, that brings up dealerships, because we have a Ford dealer near us, as you know, in Millerton, New York. And I went over there and had a little chat with the owner about the Ford Bronco, and he didn't give me a lot of new information, but I said I was really excited about it and I wanted to know when it was going to come in, and I put myself on a notification list to please let me know when he gets one in. He said, well, maybe I'll have you order one because you seem to know a lot about them and probably knows, and if you order it, you don't have to commit to buy it. I might order it the way you order it because you probably know what people are going to want on it. And this goes to a very interesting point about dealers. You know, these dealers who sell cars, and we've brought this up on this show before, and I'll just briefly go over it in a few seconds here. They don't really know what they're ordering. They just order according to what the manufacturer offers them to buy, because all manufacturers will offer to sell them groups of cars or vehicles with accessory additions onto the base prices to what they are producing off the assembly line and want to get rid of as soon as they can. We discussed the Jeep situation, the Cherokee situation, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. And I've since been around to some more Jeep dealerships, and I find they all have clusters of Jeeps. Cherokees is my only model I'm interested in. That's not true, but with packages, similar packages, so they have 10 of a Cherokee line with, let's say, the towing, factory-installed towing package on it. And I've been to two other dealerships, and they haven't had one Cherokee with the towing equipped with the towing package on it. But they have other vehicles at similar, different prices with other accessories on them. So the dealers can swap these vehicles. You go to one dealer and you want it, and they can't get it, but they will find a dealership that's got 10 of them around.
Yeah, you walk out and you call, and they do their...
And they go find it.
Right.
And they either drive or truck the vehicle you want. You had this happen to you, I think. Didn't you, in one of your cars we discussed? When you were buying a car, you wanted it specifically, and the dealer got you with specifics, but the color was wrong.
And it came from
some other dealer, though, I think.
No, this was an order. This was my first order, my first car.
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare.
The fact that it didn't come in the color you wanted, I think, or whatever it was.
It was the Volvo dealership in New York City. It was 1989.
It was my
first car.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay.
The U.S. manufacturers, some of them are having trouble with this coronavirus, as we all know about, because it's affected some of the factories in China where many of the parts are coming from that are you'll find in VWs, you'll find in Jeeps, you'll find in, and they may be floor mats or something inconsequential, or they may be consequential to the production of the vehicles. So I believe Jeep is having to suspend production of one of its Jeep plants because of a shortage of Chinese parts, because the factory is closed for 1 to 3 weeks because of the outbreak of this disease in China, and they're just trying to quarantine everybody from being in working areas or public areas where they can spread the virus around. But many automakers are possibly going to see some shortages of parts and going to have to shut down assembly lines.
And are there any other places in the supply line that can step in, for example, Japan? I'm just curious because I've always been quietly interested in transit. You know, how short is that supply line? Widgets.
The supply line has gotten a lot shorter over decades because they go to what they call just-in-time production, which is let's not build the part until it's actually ordered by the manufacturer. And let's not produce that particular part in excessive numbers. Let's try to build it to match the assembly of the vehicles so that you don't have too many back, you know, parts backing up in store places around the world or in, around the country or wherever they're manufactured. So when you have what's going on now in our in the world of infectious diseases, and you don't have large supplies of backup parts because of what we've just said, it doesn't make it easy to go out and find alternative manufacturers of the parts quickly, because there aren't too many manufacturers who are multiply manufacturing the same part because of the way the ordering system goes. And manufacturers aren't going to go and put one manufacturer against another, except in the design stages when they're trying to figure out who's going to produce the parts for their new model of car coming out.
So how long, I'm just curious, between the shipping, you know, the containers and the actual time of the voyage and so forth, and then getting it through customs.
They've got it all figured out, you know.
Right, but
from Mexico to U.S., production parts going either way, it's a matter of train or truck transportation issues. Seldom is it by air at that short distance situation. But from overseas, European manufacturers to U.S., Asian manufacturers to the U.S., if the cars are being manufactured in the U.S. out of parts that are coming from other places besides the U.S., because many of the parts are in the U.S., it's a question of flying them in or delivering them by boat, a ship container situation. And the latter is much more
cost-effective.
It's cost-effective, but it's time-ineffective
that's what
from
I was
the
asking.
Standpoint of getting the parts, because you can fly parts in a day to a destination point in this country and get it trucked or delivered very quickly, versus a ship may take several weeks to get from one port to another.
And so I was wondering if normally to keep the cost down, it's transported by ship. Wouldn't there, in theory, be ships that wouldn't there still be parts?
Those parts presumably were ordered for vehicles already in the assembly line,
right.
And the assembly lines can keep going until that particular batch of parts
right.
is going
okay.
out, okay?
Yep.
What else is there? Let's see.
In the final 3 minutes, what would you like to talk about? 2 minutes.
That's a good question. We've covered the electric pickup situation, at least in short. We've discussed the Bronco. We've discussed the Tesla Model Y. There are lots of cars around for people to choose from. Dealers' lots are pretty full of cars, and car sales have slowed in some lines. Here's a line I'm very bullish on, Hyundai. I've been to a Hyundai dealer, fairly large local area Hyundai dealer that has a lot of the new Hyundai vehicles, SUVs, Sonatas, all types of vehicles on their lot for me to look at. I want to say that I am bullish about, A, the style of the new Sonata. I think it's going to sell very well with the American manufacturers closing out their sedan sales. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for the Asian manufacturers who maintain sedan production. Hyundai, Toyota, Nissan, Kia, and the like will all have a still considerable sedan market of buyers out there to buy vehicles going forward. And the U.S. manufacturers are going to lose out, which means GM, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler, because they basically are stopping the Tauruses, they're stopping the Chevrolet Malibus, I believe, and other vehicle lines in Fiat Chrysler, because they don't think that there's a long-term market for sedans, and they are wrong. As so often is the case, as we have talked on this show, the short attention span of the American manufacturers, companies, just boggles my mind. They want instant gratification, and if they can't keep that instant gratification going, they basically shut down operations in this area.
They
give up a whole
share
of market that they were geared to design good vehicles for. And let
then
somebody
come back
else
around,
take over.
Yeah,
and it's like the Ford with the Ranger pickup truck.
Yeah.
They decide the midsize
pickup
truck was out of touch with reality, and they just stopped production. And now they're trying to catch up to the very successful Colorado and Canyon versions of the midsize pickup truck craze that General Motors has had for the last 3 years or so.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.